Let me see it. Let us continue in our continuum. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. This is the key to joy and peace and happiness and security. Even in the world of turmoil and confusion. It is the difference between getting a good night's sleep and walking the floor worried about something. A being serene versus being terrified by the things that review around us. Let's go to section 4. That's where we are. Everyone repeat after me.
Viewing the temporary worldly
from the eternal heavenly. Let's go to the bottom of the page. Hopefully everyone has the document. Amen. Anyone that may have an extra copy of, there's some in the back. Make sure our guests get a copy. Gonna be hard to follow without. Amen. We are committed to ministering from the grace covenant. We are committed to ministering in the grace doctrine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We are committed to ministering the directives and the instructions that have been committed to the grace church for the grace dispensation.
Right.
In other words, this is the information that is given to us, and as we comprehend and as we internalize these glorious truths, it becomes the essence of what's real to us rather than what's around us. And so as we are into this chapter dealing with viewing the temporary worldly, not from within the temporary worldly,
nope,
but viewing the temporary worldly from the vantage point of looking down, amen, and having panoramic view of life, and we see more than what's up on the matrix.
Right.
Amen. We see more than what seemingly our eyes behold. Last week we were in 1 Corinthians 2 and 5, and remember there, our faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in what? In the power of God. Amen. So we discount, amen, what all of the pundits and experts are telling us about what's going on. Amen. And we draw upon that which is outlaid in the scriptures for our consideration, and as we view things from the heavenly view, our hearts are comforted.
Yeah.
We dwell in confidence. Amen. And not in fear.
Right.
And this is what Pastor Paul is conveying as we look into the essence of God's word. It does not imbue the terror that is thrust upon the hearts of man,
right,
those who are just looking out into the world, and what you see determine what you think.
Right.
Amen. But he hasn't given us this spirit.
No.
Hasn't given us the spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But
Amen.
What?
Power.
And what?
Love.
and what? Sound thinking. How are we going to get sound thinking? Are you going to draw upon it from what you look at on the television and you look at the news and what you read and what you hear from moment to moment during any day? You know, anything could pop up. Got a news flash. And you know what? It doesn't make the news unless it's bad news. Amen. And then, now our day is ruined. No. Remember, as we have conveyed and we have dug out from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that we are not what? We're not looking at the things that are what? And that is Second Corinthians 4:18. We're not looking at the things what?
Which are
seen. We're seen, but the things what?
Unseen.
Because the things that are seen are what?
Temporary.
And the things that are unseen are what?
Eternal.
Should be a no-brainer as to which one. You know. And in this light, as we look at, now I can quote Hebrews 11:3, that the thing that is appearing, it's not coming out of what you see.
Nope.
The actuality of what is not out of what you see,
nope,
but out of the same.
Man.
Out of the same. Right. So it's about what God has said rather than what we see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as we're able to exercise this in our hearts and our minds, amen, we're happy. No matter what's going on around us, we're happy.
That's right.
Amen. Now, let's Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Let's go to the 8th chapter of Romans today. Amen. Now, when we go into Romans, many times when you know they did that, that is one of the most misunderstood chapters in the book. And you know what causes that? What causes the misunderstanding, those that are looking into the 8th chapter of Romans? First of all, we must understand and come to comprehend the difference between actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation and time. If you do not take this ingression into this 8th chapter of Romans, first thing is, you're going to have the old man mixed up with the new man. Yeah, we have the old man mixed up with the new man. No. And so, when Paul says certain things in this chapter, we don't understand. Now, coming out the gate, in the first verse, he says that there is no condemnation to you. Now, is he saying that there is no condemnation to you and who you are and who I am in the flesh? No, that's not what he's saying. Here we must draw a line of demarcation between the new man and the old man. The new man, listen, the new man is who you are and have been in Christ from eternity, according to Ephesians 1:4, when he chose you and made you holy, and that he separated you and assessed you blameless through the blood of Jesus and placed you in the body of Christ.
Yes.
That's who you are and have been from eternity.
Right.
Now, we have to distinguish that and differentiate that from who we are in these bodies. There's all kind of condemnation in these bodies. In fact, the body itself is condemned.
Amen. That's it. Amen. That's right.
And so, as he moves through this chapter, and I think in verse 9, he said, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. They used to teach us, you know, you're going through some kind of trance and you're in the spirit. You know, especially when you start speaking in tongues. You're in the spirit. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the essence of where you reside in spirituality, eternality, versus the fact that in manifestation we abide in these bodies. So as you read this chapter, you've got to see the new man according to 2 Corinthians, what's that, 5:16? Amen. 17, that basically it says, in essence, that if those who are in Christ were what?
New creations.
Mm-hmm. You are.
Mm-hmm. Are.
You are right now. Mm-hmm. Those of us who are in Christ, listen.
That's right.
We are new creations.
Yes.
He's talking about who you are in the body of Christ. You are in the body of Christ right now.
Yes.
Oh, no. Your conscience, amen, is not resonating with it.
Right.
But a thing does not abide according to our conscience.
Nope.
According to what we know.
That's right. Amen.
Or what we don't know. Now, as we move further down into this chapter, let's focus on, and I'm trying to be cautious of the time this morning. Verse 20, Radical, let's see, let's start in verse 19. Everybody got Romans chapter 8, verse 19, say amen. Because in the antecedent of Proverbs, he's talking about suffering. And he's talking about how things seem to all messed up. Mm-hmm. And he makes an assessment there that in the essence of things, I calculate that word reckon has a stronger connotation in exegesis than guessing. He's not saying I guess. Said I've calculated, I come to the conclusion through the knowledge of God that the sufferings of the present time, they're not what? Not worthy to be compared what?
With
the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, and many of God's people, that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, man.
I got to get out of debt. Amen. You're gonna be in debt as long as you're alive. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, I gotta get my healing. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are just like an old. Any of you ever had an old, real old car? Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, you take it to the mechanic and he fixes it, and then as soon as you drive out, you hear another something else is, huh?
That's how
these bodies are. Amen. I went to turn over in the bed the other night and something grabbed me in my back. I said, where'd you come from?
Yes, sir.
I said, boy, that's the downside. No, let's look at the upside. The upside is that in actualization through God's decree, these bodies are already destroyed, but we have a new not made with hands, not physical, spiritual, eternal dwelling in Christ. Eternal. Everybody say eternal.
Eternal.
Now, if you do not understand this, then you won't follow the writings of Paul. And actually, you know, the person that picks up the Bible and he starts reading, started looking through these epistles and these writings, and he said, Paul, either both sick and sad. Huh? I don't see no victories in his life. All the way through, from the moment that God, amen, redirected him.
Oh, yes.
On the road to Damascus. And he became God's fervent servant. For the rest of his life, Paul had it hard.
Amen.
The sickest man, the brokest man. Sometimes he couldn't eat. He said, "My wife, you know, what has he got that he can say to us?" Amen. You see, you have to understand, amen, the situations and vicissitudes of life for all purpose of God. In this case, amen, to really, really, really be the champion of that which is spiritual, he had to make everything physically reversible around him.
Sure enough. Amen. Amen. That's right.
I mean, if he's going to give Paul the revelation of the mystery, if he's going to give him a message and a secret that has been kept from generations, if we are to believe Ephesians chapter 3, if he's going to give him information that he had never given anyone, it looked like he would have given Paul carte blanche and amen so he could spread this thing out to us. But when you don't understand, amen, the workings of God, even in the Old Testament, my ways are what?
Not your ways.
And my thoughts are what?
Not your thoughts.
You see, we have preconceived ideals as the way God should do things. Which causes us to have certain expectations.
Right.
And when it doesn't go according to our imagined itineraries, we either say God doesn't have anything to do with it, or, you know, I was looking this week at, and my heart goes out to the gentleman who 3 years ago broke into his house in Connecticut and killed his entire family, and they were interviewing him, and you know, I mean, he's gone to appear, so he was actually angry at God. Oh, some of us, we've been there. We won't come out and say it. We're a little disappointed. Amen. at the way things are going, not comprehending and understanding, and then he started rationalizing. He said, "Well, I think that maybe there are some things that God doesn't have control of." You see how the human mind begins to rationalize when the essence of the truth is the enablement for any energy, whether it is potential or kinetic, must be sourced from God. You know, we it's a very cruel saying. Somebody laughed at me when he said, "But a fly can't wiggle its left wing. A little fly." Unless God enables it. A leaf doesn't fall in the forest unless God has enabled it. It doesn't matter if any man even sees it. What does it matter? How many things are happening out there in the cosmos? And of course, I guess we're going to say these exploding stars are dying and stars are being born, you know, each day, and all of the cosmic forces. Sometimes we see the supernovas. Amen. And you're gauging at something that happened many light years ago. The light's just getting to us. Amen. If that thing is so many light years away, that means it happened that amount of light years ago, but it actually happened.
Right.
I mean, it's close as the sun is to us, and 93 million miles, that's relatively speaking. Amen. 8.5 minutes ago, the light that you see out there left the sun.
That's right.
Now, just because we are seeing it, it doesn't mean that that's when it occurs.
Amen.
So what we're trying to focus on is not to lean to our own understanding. Don't look within ourselves or within humankind for answers. Where's the answer?
In God's
word.
Word of God. Amen.
Now, let's look at verse 19. Brother Deacon, let's see. Read from 19 through... to 20... let's stop at 22. Our time is we got some exegesis we're going to go through this morning. I want to have time to do that. You go to King James. Most of us, we have the King James. And hopefully, everyone that's a part of this ministry, at some point, you will have the Greek interlineal, because we go and we read from that, because you have the Greek word there and the English word right under it. And his feet are held closer to the fire, because if he says something and it's different from what the Greek word is, he at least has to put some footnote there.
Right.
Amen. All right, read. Everybody got Romans 8:19, say amen.
Amen.
We're reading from the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 19th verse, King James Version. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Now, see, what's he saying there? You want, oh my gosh. In the front of this document that we have, volume one, Scripture Distinctions of Actualization and Turning from Manifestation in Time, we have a glossary of definitions there, you know. And one of them is manifestation. And what is? It's the outward perception in indicating revelations of things that are materialized. That's all it is. And as we conveyed, and this is the ingression that you must take into this to understand what Paul is saying. A thing is actualized in the seeing, in God's seeing it. That's the reality of it.
That's right.
The ontology of the being is in the seeing. What brings it into being is God saying it.
Yes. Yeah.
Period. The manifestation has to follow the saying. Now, when that thing appears up on the matrix, and I feel free to use that term, and you all go to the movie and all of that. When it appears up there, that's not always what it is, what you see. Depending upon the angle. Depending upon the angle that you are viewing it. That's why five people can see something and come out with five different renditions of what they saw. It depends upon the angle.
Yes, amen.
And that's the reason why we're not looking and depending upon it. Here is telling us that the creature, or actually the creation, is waiting on what?
The
manifestation. Finish reading that. Let's go to the Greek. Then when we exegete, and we'll really draw this out. Follow us this morning. Amen. And you must understand these things. We don't continue to preach and teach this. Amen. Because some things are going to come down that will blow you away. Amen. If you do not have full grasp of what life and what existence actually is versus what it appears to be. You might say, you can't trust my eyes. No.
No.
I can't trust my mind. No. Absolutely no. If we can trust our eyes, we will need for his word to be a what?
A light unto our path.
light to our pathway, and lamp to our feet, and a light to my pathway. Well, you need God's word to be a light. You know, like if you're walking in the dark and you're just walking, man, you know, saints, old saints used to sing a song, it is dangerous walking in the dark.
Yeah.
It takes a light there, and you shine, because if there are anything there that you can stumble over, you could be alerted to it.
That's right.
Or at least if you're walking through something and it's uncomfortable, at least you have some idea of what you're walking through.
Yes, sir.
You have some idea of what that thing is. And this is what we're trying to do.
Amen.
I gave the knowledge of a couple of weeks ago. I was at home, and Sister Cutler and Roz were gone. I knew they were gone, and I kept hearing some boom, boom, boom noise. I said, went downstairs, I looked, and I went back upstairs, and boom, boom, boom. I was working on the computer. I said, what is that? So next time I went downstairs, I just waited for the next boom, boom, boom. The new refrigerator we has, that's the ice maker. Now, once I had the information and the intelligence of what was going on, I went back upstairs. I'm sure it kept saying boom, 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 but I didn't even hear it anymore. So this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get information so that the things of life don't blow you away. And so when you hear all of the noise in the news, you're not frightened out of your boots or your shoes.
Amen.
What are we going to do now? Well, if they don't pass this, we're going to go into a recession again. So, relax.
Amen.
Relax.
Amen.
Read, Brother Deacon.
Verse 20. For the creature or creation was made subject to vanity.
Willingly. Oh, God. Let's go on through that. Let's get to the Greek.
Okay. But by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Oh, my God.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
All right, now let's go to the let's go to interlinear. Now, if you don't have the interlinear, just follow along here. Oh my God! Verse 19
of the 8th chapter of Romans, interlinear Greek text. For the anxious watching of the creation, the revelation of the sons of God, eagerly expecting.
Whoa. Brother Deacon, you have your Greek lexicon there? That word that eagerly expecting. What is that? You don't have it? Amen. The essence of that, you don't happen to have yours, do you? Look that up. Amen. I'm looking at the ending of that word, and it's not. You see that little asterisk he's got there in front of ears? That gives us a little clue. When you find it, we'll come back to that. Keep reading.
Verse 20. For to vanity the creation was subjected.
Now, what is that? That
errs.
That's the what?
Indicative. Passive.
Passive voice. All of creation was subjected. When was creation subjected? when creation was created.
Amen.
In eternity.
Eternity.
There are no actions in time. All actuations and actions abide in eternity. The only thing you get in time is testimony. And whatever is showing up is there for purpose. And God blesses that we never get so frustrated in life.
Come on with it. Come on.
So for long. And doubt that we think that God is not in control.
Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If that thing showed up that way, God couldn't have anything to do with it. It must have just happened. As it appears, as demanding as it depicts, as horrible as it shows, don't you ever say God had nothing to do with it. That's like saying God created the world. Then step back and say, all right, now, let's see what happens.
No,
and when things happen, he's just as surprised as we are.
Oh, no way. No way.
Read that again.
Chris, verse 20 of the 8th of Romans. For to vanity, the creation was subjected.
It was subjected. Now, who do you think subjected it?
God. Hallelujah.
God is in control. Everybody say God is in control.
God is in control. Yes.
Now the part we miss out on is purpose. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
That's the part we miss. And because of that, sometimes we view things as curses and they are blessings.
Amen.
And we call bad, good, and we call good, bad. You know why? Because we're depending upon what we see.
Amen.
And somebody said, I just can't see how that could be good. Yeah, that's what you cannot see. And Paul said, we're not looking at what we see. I mean, the scriptures are screaming at us, and you know, it's like, it's just going right by. You know, hey, my rationale and logic is more reliable than the Word of God. Now, that's what we're saying. I mean, we're not really just coming out and saying it, but this is what our attitude is. Things crop up, and we get so engrossed in those things, we cannot see. You know, most of us, we're locked in, what's today's date? The 12th of December 2010. Most of us are locked in. God's not locked into no. We have to believe Hebrews chapter 11, and that is Hebrews chapter 1 and 2. He made the ages. How can God be locked into something that he created? by the testimony, missing the essence of the source of what the testimony is being reflected from. Hear me this morning.
Hallelujah.
There's no difference between AD 10 12 10 15 10 18 10 19 10 and 2010. They're all up on the matrix. Now see, here's our problem. We construe that you have space and that our time is moving through space. No, you can't separate. That's the reason E equals MC squared works. You cannot separate time from space. You know, energy equals mass times the square of what? The speed of light, which is a time mechanism, a time component. And you can't separate them, because now if you want to solve for time, or the speed of light as a function of time, you got to say C is equal to what? The square root of what? E, right? Divided by what? M, which is mass. Now, when you do that, that means that time is dependent upon a component of energy and mass. You cannot separate. So, time is not moving through space. Each increment of space, interval of space, however small it is, it is a sign time for that space. Everybody say one.
One.
Wait. Now everybody say two.
Two.
The space that you said one in is different from the space that we said two in.
Absolutely.
And we think it's the same space and time moving through space. God has a sign, and in that increment, He has purposed testimony of what's happening. When did He do this? In eternity. Tomorrow is already here.
Amen.
Just because we haven't seen it yet,
see.
Doesn't mean anything. I said, you're crazy. No. In the same Romans writings, he speaks of the thing that is as though it already has been. Huh? Right? And throughout these writings, we have all of these past tense or aorist tense that are being thrown at us. What is the Word of God trying to tell us? God is in control.
Yes.
And everything that's up there, it's our purpose. Our problem is we prioritize time. And God's prioritizing what?
Eternity.
Eternity, where things actually abide and dwell. This is what, and if you don't understand this, you will not understand these verses of what He's saying. Read.
Again, verse 20, for to vanity the creation was subjected, not willingly.
No, not your creation. What it's saying is, and here, when you take this, you got to throw fate out the window. There's no such thing as fate. And also, you got to throw free will. Oh, my God, the church world has been mesmerized with this free will stuff. We are depraved. That's our free will. And that was a sign. Just like creation is depraved, and it was a sign. We'll pick that up in the next verse. Keep going.
Not willingly, but because of the one having subjected. In hope.
In hope. What are you talking about? It's subjective for testimony, but the whole thing comes out according to God's divine decree and will. And here's the question, do you trust God's divine decree and will? Are we so hooked up in our agendas that we want what we want, and what we want is what we want, and we don't care about anything else except what we want?
Amen.
And what we want is not about anything. Universe doesn't run on what we want. Or what we don't want. It runs on the basis of God's divine decree and will. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? All right. Oh, that clock always beat me up. Let's go to verse 21.
Because even itself, the creation, will be freed from the slavery of corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of God.
Did you see what the apostle is saying there? Indulge me as we exegete here. Here we have the pronoun opti. In fact, it's O-T-K, opti. All that also itself. What self? Christus, creation itself. Here we have the verb ephthero-thesete, which is translated free. It is in the indicative mood. It is in the future tense. What's the indicative mood? What's the future tense? Everybody know you put the future tense. That's crazy. How can you have a future fact? A thing is not a fact until what?
Until it shows up.
Yeah, that's what we say.
We say.
If God has decreed it, there is a 21:10. And it's no different from 20:10. No difference. It's just as factual as 19:10 that is past.
Come on,
Why? Because God has said it. And it's there. Do we trust God? Do we trust Him? In the total analysis of things, the bottom line is, do we trust God? Now here's the problem. We say we have faith. Everybody here say we have faith. In what? Is your faith invested in God doing something the way you want it? Or do you have genuine faith that resides in trusting and wanting what God wants? Do we have confidence to do it the way that God wants to do it? That God has done it, let's say. It's already done. You know. In another part of Romans, Paul used the expression, can the clay said to the potter, why did you do that? Why'd you make me this? Why'd you do this?
Yeah, why?
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. No. 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 The potter's trying to make something, and he takes it, and then to get it to a certain shape, he started hammering on it. God is the potter with the clay. We're saying, ouch, 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 stop, stop, stop. Who are you telling to stop? Mm-hmm. The potter? Who is the potter?
God.
He's telling God to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Don't you ever pray a prayer except what?
Will be done.
Your will is done. Mm-hmm. It's already done. The essence of eternality is where everything dwells.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have a future fact of all of creation free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my conscience and in your conscience and in the time space allotment that we're moving through now, that doesn't seem realized, does it?
Mm-hmm.
It can't. Because the testimony of that is not a sign in time. The testimony of that is a sign in eternity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's why you don't see the ministries ministering from Paul's epistle. Paul is crazy. And see, he is just as happy about what he does not see.
Yes, sir.
He is more happier, I should say,
hallelujah,
about what he does not see than what he sees. What he does not see is creation being free. But he know it is because, what? God is the creator. We go through life and, you know, we constantly go into funerals. And it just, sometimes we look, and of course, all of our hearts, we grieve for one another, the broken fellowship and everything so forth. But it's like there's that bewilderment that sets in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, help us not to be bewildered.
Amen.
We can weep because of the fellowship as Jesus did with Lazarus as an example. But bewilderment? No, Paul, as he writes to the Thessalonians, he didn't say, we don't weep. He said, we don't weep as those that, what? Have no hope.
We got hope. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
If God has not assigned something in testimony, it will not show up. And he has not assigned the freedom of creation as testimony in time. But I'm telling you, it's free.
It's free. That's it. Oh.
Because God has decreed it. Follow this. We have the Greek now. Thoros. It's translated decay, ruin, depravity. So what he's saying is, it will be, and we can say it is, because it is indicative future, it is a future fact, it is free from, here we have the now Tholisa, which is bondage. In fact, you have two genitives. I'm going to get the two technical to the grammar here, but it's a you have two genitives annexed to each other. One is bondage or slavery, and the other one is corruption. And he uses the preposition there, apo, which is translated from the slavery of depravity. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't see the testimony of that in the increments of time and space. But again, what is Paul saying? We're not looking at what?
Things are seen.
The things are seen. That is the increments of space and time. That is not what we are relying upon, but what? The unseen. The eternality in of things.
Yeah.
You know, you don't hear too much preaching and singing about heaven until we get to funerals.
That's it. That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Man,
that's it. That's sad.
That's sad. Yes, it is.
Our thought is on the here and now, and there's no such a thing as the here and now, because space one is gone. Space two, everybody said three.
Three.
I said four.
Four.
Three is gone, and whoops, by now four is gone. That increment of space and time is gone, and everything in it has passed. Actually reside in eternality, in eternity.
Yes.
Here's what messed us up. Give me 10 minutes, I'm going to just bail out. The theologians, some of them I have great respect for, they taught us that you have eternity past, then time came in and put eternity on hold.
Yep.
And then we're in time now.
Yeah.
Now when time is over, we have eternity future. They have put time on the same equal status as eternity. Time is a creation. Time is a creation. Eternity hasn't ever gone anywhere. He spoke of things being subjected in hope. Where is the residency of hope? Our hope is an eternal hope. There is no hope in this life. Paul writes in another place, and he said, if we have hope only in this life, we are all men to be pitied. That's the pitiful scenario. The only hope is an eternal hope.
Amen. That's right.
Let's pick a year off the matrix. Some of you are not going to like it. 2060. Where are you?
We are all in Christ.
I didn't think of three of my answers there. 2016. So I won't think about it. Now, there may be a few of the young ones in here, and of course, amen, you'll be an old man by then, Sean. You'll be your granddaddy's age. He said, "Boy, that's old."
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
For those of us that are older, the question is, where will you be? If I was dead and gone. That's because we prioritize time, and we prioritize who we are in these bodies,
right,
over eternity and who we are in Christ.
Right. Amen.
Let me ask you one more question before we close for the day. Where were you in the AD 10? Of course, I wasn't born yet. You weren't born yet. Nobody was born. But where were you? I didn't exist. Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You will be in 2060 the same as where you were in AD 60.
Absolutely.
It's all from the matrix. Oh my God, but the essence of who you are and where you are is in eternity.
Yeah, man. Oh,
yeah. Otherwise, this life doesn't make much sense, does it?
Right.
You're born, I just wasn't too long. You're still up on the matrix while it's not running around the house, you're cutting up. My mom's screaming, sit down! Two little bad boys. Blah, 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 blah. That's why sometimes when the kids are raging, the grandkids down at the house, I just listen. Hey, goes with the territory, doesn't it? Huh?
Man, yeah.
It'd be like you telling Jamie to sit down. Please. He may lay down when he goes to sleep, but as long as he's awake, sit down. You grow up. We get careers, we get jobs, we get married.
Yep.
Look at Lisa back there. I used to be able to carry Lisa in my arms.
Never.
Somebody said it was a long time ago. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to say how long. Man. There's a better chance of her carrying me now than But see, that's what was allotted for that time and space.
Right, amen, right.
Now that we're moving on through life.
Mm-hmm. No,
she's grown, she's married, she's got children, and look around, they'll be grown. All of them. They'll be grown.
Oh, glory.
They get married. They have children. Mm-hmm. Then their children get grown. Then their grandchildren. Grandparents, I should say. What is life? If that's all it's about, let's get real. Life is about Christ.
Yeah, Christ. Amen. Christ. Thank God.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having what? Blessed us with what? Each and every spiritual blessing. Where? Where the blessings? In the heavens, where the heavens? In Christ. That's what we should be rejoicing about. But you don't hear that being preached as five ways to do something. That nobody in this pulpit is going to be preaching on five ways how to do nothing.
I hear you.
How to get out of something. No, that's not the essence of it. What is our life? What is our life? Our life is Christ. Our life is about Christ. Our life is about Christ. The other noun he uses here is eleftheriot, which is rendered freedom, liberty. In eternality. How do you get rid of sin? Get rid of physicality.
Yes, sir.
How do you get rid of sorrow? We get rid of time.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
As long as there's time, the testimony in time is sorrow. Oh, we'll have 1,000 years in the millennium, but it will end. And you know how fast, how long is 1,000 years to God?
Every day.
You know, but that's just human jargon.
Amen.
Time is what about what? Drop in the ocean. Like one little drop of water, bloop, in the ocean, and compared to eternity.
Amen.
And our problem is, we are so hooked on what's going around us, we can't see it. Let me read two paragraphs here. Let's go to the bottom of 102 and then we'll bail out for the day.
Thank you.
Now where it starts in salvation, and you notice in Romans chapter 1, Paul said, there is what? Therefore now, no condemnation to what? He was talking about the eternal now. To those, not who walk after this, they added that. In fact, take your pen and just strike that last phrase of 8:1 out of there, that walk after the spirit of the flesh. That's further down in one of those other verses, but that doesn't belong there. And this is where everything starts. If you're shaky about salvation, you're shaky about life.
Amen.
How are you going to trust God to pay your bills if you don't trust in the Savior? What's more important? Maybe I should ask that question. No, salvation.
Yes,
if my bill never get paid,
amen.
I'm saved.
Amen.
All right, the bottom of 102, two paragraphs, and then I'm gone. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Eternal enlightened experience of God's love assures everything needful and conducive to salvation. Eternal security. Everybody say eternal security.
Eternal security.
Eternal viewing is drawn to God as it likewise illustrates Him in an infinitely greater degree. In proportion to eternal viewing, one truly loves God and realizes how precious He is in one's sight in the assurance of His unconditional commitment. Everybody say God's unconditional commitment.
God's unconditional.
To your ultimate well-being.
That's right. That's right.
But it's not a sign to time. It is a sign in eternity. The rebellion of the physical against the spiritual can only be restrained by eternal disciplines. Hence, humankind's fierce bodily impulses continually warring with spiritual faculties. In physicality, humanity is perceived as decisively determined in functionality, or at least in concert contributing a role in the earth's operational orders. In turn, its esteem is construed bodily in food, drink, and physical pleasures. Physicality wars against the spirit, which is indeed estranged on earth, and yearning for reunion with the originality of perfection in existence of his kinship world in the heavenlies. Thus, the entire purpose of penitential exercises exudes subjection of depravity, which exhibits anything but a quicker and sure method of accomplishing abiding stability. Here, oh my God, we didn't have time. Romans, you look that whole passage there that we're referring to there, 19-23. Amen. Maybe next week when we come back in January, we can focus on that. Manifestly, last paragraph. Manifestly, reconciling physicality within the reins of life is accomplishable solely in the realm of utilizing spiritual techniques. Those chained and prioritized eternal viewing, oh my God, that's where I want to be, abound within the strongest links of secure assurances by not being laden of carrying physicality's burden. Those freed from physicality, in essence, penetrate deep into divine intimacy rather than jog painfully along the road of mortification. No burden is neither heavy nor trial bitter for such ones in the ultimate sense. Nothing more quickly draws such ones close, such ones to God and spirituality than the delightful bond of eternally abiding in his love. Such who have grace in this highway need not seek any other solace. Those imprisoned in this view, and I thank God, I want to be imprisoned in this view, huh? And Paul said last week, he said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Yeah. He was writing from prisoner, but he wasn't saying, hey, you are, hey, y'all, I'm in prison. Nope. He was saying, I'm prison of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Essence of who he is in Christ, yes, meant more than what his situation was in the flesh. Yes. Those imprisoned in this view are completely bound in eternal boding. Example, their spiritual eyes and minds are anticipating in consecration to God. This most significant inaction is more meritoriously acclaimed, void of humanity, which is more pleasing to God than the action of those who, though being in his state of grace, love God less than themselves because of their depravity. Do you love God more than you love yourself? That's what it comes down to. If so, you abide in his will and your life in this life. Because after all, amen, you go through life, then the ultimate end is that physicality and time comes to a conclusion. But that's joy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a happy message.
Mm-hmm.
The essence of this body being destroyed, that's a joyful message. Because it said, even though it is maybe having been destroyed,
uh-huh,
what did he say in relationship to it? Is that the end?
Mm-mm, no.
I'm dead, I'm done?
No.
Huh? Said we have what?
Hell.
We have. Right now, he's talking about the body of Christ. We have a building of God. Uh-huh. What?
Right now.
Not physical, not made with hands. Where is it?
Eternal.
Oh my God, in eternal. Huh? In the heavens, where are the heavens?
In
oh my God, Father, we better get happy here. Oh my God. One day.
Yes,
gonna take off mortality and put on immortality. One day. We're gonna take off time and put on eternity. One day. We're gonna replace burden with freedom, sorrow with joy. One day. We're gone where Jesus is. We're gonna be caught up. Can you say caught up? Oh my God, I better quit. God bless you.